thank you for joining us with these podcasts. They are designed to challenge us in the Christian faith. We hope that they do that for you. And we also hope that sometime you will join us at First Christian Church in Malvern. May God bless you. I want to thank you for joining us. This is a Bible study that we started with 2 Peter, and we're still in chapter 1. We are also using a book by Dr. David Jeremiah, Everything You Need. We are using that as a study guide too. I want to just start on 2 Peter, and I want to read a couple of verses here from the beginning. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received the faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Jeremiah has made a point in his book, Everything You Need, that we are to add to our faith. And I know Kenny talked about that in our previous studies. I'm going to give John a chance to teach on the insert 2. That's why I'm starting with insert 3 on moral excellence. That's an interesting topic of moral excellence. If we're going to be strong and effective people who will withstand the pressures of this world and bear a testimony and leave a legacy, that is something that I truly want for my grandchildren, to know that I was a person that truly believed in God. We've got to be a people of quality. Quality assurance, you know, that's something that we look at in products. I know in my own life, when I sold pianos, there were certain pianos that were strong, good quality, and there were other pianos that just was not the same quality. You could tell that. But quality, the Bible calls it virtue. And in that 2 Peter 2, 5, it does say, now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence or virtue. So the question is, we don't use that word very often in our conversations. The question comes, what is virtue? And when it comes to our faith, virtue is born of faith, and it involves trusting God, How much do you trust God? It allows you to place your full weight on the worthiness of the Word. You know, we're seeing in our society today a compromise of God's Word, a compromise of our faith. And we're giving up faith that we had and substituting that faith and giving other qualities to that faith than what the Word of God says. Virtue gives your faith quality and quality to your character. You know, you want a number of things, but you want a behavior that shows your high moral standards. We want to be people of high moral standards. And constantly on TV and things that we see on TV, there is this lowering of moral standards. First of all, what we have to look at is the moral standards of Jesus Christ. That's who we are following. We want to follow Christ. We want to follow His moral standards. And we see some examples of that moral quality of Christ in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And go ahead and turn to that if you can. I'll read it if you cannot. But in chapter 8, verse 28, it's an interesting story there. He says in chapter 8 of John, "Therefore," Jesus said, "when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." You know, as we follow Christ, we're trying to please and do things that would please Jesus. Jesus, in turn, showed us that example of doing things that would please the Father. Now, there's another verse of Scripture that's found in John chapter 5. And if we look at that, there is chapter 5, and we'll take a look at verse 30. Chapter 5, verse 30. If we look at this particular verse, he said, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." That has always been true of Jesus Christ. It should always be true of us that we're not seeking our own will. We're seeking the will of the Father by following Christ. And there's an interesting thing that we see that happens in Matthew 3:17, that when Jesus goes to the baptism in Matthew 3, just turn with me to that. Matthew 3, verse 17. Matthew 3, 17. And as we look at that verse, it says, "And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Three things happened here. Three things. There's God the Son in the baptismal waters. And there's God the Spirit that parted the heavens and came down. And there's God the Father that pronounced the truth: "This is my Son." So we have these three things that happen that show the moral quality and the virtue of Jesus Christ. He had the approval of his Father. And then when you look at the Transfiguration, you may remember that particular story. It's found in Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew 17, of the Mount of Transfiguration, we find a number of things that happen. In verse 2, we find that Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And if you also look not only at 2, but look at 5, it says, and while he was still speaking, of course, that was Peter. Peter was the one that always spoke up and always said something whenever there was any silence. He says, while he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know, Jesus had a moral excellence. And we see that time and time again, that God is pleased with him. Even in the book that we are studying in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 17, and we will get to that particular verse later, but I want to mention it now because as we look at that, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's how we are to live. In fact, that moral character that Christ has is also for his followers. That's for us. Now, we please our Father. And we please our Father not because we are going to earn our salvation. We could never do that. You can never earn your salvation. The law taught us that, didn't it? The law taught us that we could not earn our salvation. Well, in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to turn to there, 2 Corinthians, if you're following along with us, and we'll go to chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Take a look at verse 9. It says, therefore, also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. As Christians, we need to have moral excellence. How do you get that moral excellence? How do you do that? Is it, do you go to the smorgasbord of what you think is right and what is wrong and pick and choose what you want? The only way that we can get this moral excellence is through God's Word, by knowing God's Word, by looking at God's Word, by looking at the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, I am happy that Jesus has saved me. And I'm eager to try to please my Father and to live for him. But let me tell you, if you think that you have to please God by your obedience because he's your judge, you're going to undermine grace. You're going to undermine the good news of justification by faith. You know, Pastor Kevin DeYoung said something like that. And so when we try to live the proper life, we want to live a number of things, three things here. We want to live above the fray, above the line. Now, Kenny had an excellent series of sermons that dealt with living above the line. We must have a standard that is found in the Word of God in excellence, in moral excellence, in virtue. Now, 1 Thessalonians, if you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we read this. Finally, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you what you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, this changing that happens in your life, this being sanctified, that is that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God. You know, we've been given the Word of God. Now, not only have we been given the Word of God, we've been given the teachings of the apostles. It's so important that we follow the Bible. We're living in a time that says doctrine isn't important. The Word of God isn't important. You know, just whatever you can do, just live that way. You know, if we look at this passage of Scripture and we look at it in the New Living Translation, it says, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, the apostles didn't make up their teachings. They got their teachings from the Lord Jesus Christ. And they gave those teachings to us. He says, God's will for you is to be holy, to stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to realize that we live in a world that's not teaching God's way at all. We struggle with life because of that, because of our surroundings. But we must remain firm, and we must know what is right and wrong. My mom used to teach me, "Mark, before you get into this particular situation in your life, you better know what you're going to say or what you're going to do." The Word of God gives us that opportunity to know right and wrong. Now, we just can't talk about biblical excellence or virtue without dealing with this moral thing of sexuality. We need to realize that our world is way off, and the perspective of our world is way off, and that's going to affect our grandchildren, our children. It's going to affect those who come behind us. We have this tendency to forfeit future happiness for the sake of temporary sexual satisfaction. You know, one of the things we've been studying is the book of Ecclesiastes. We're studying that on Wednesdays. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, "I will search for happiness through sexuality, sensual things." And he found that it was only temporary. It's only temporary. It doesn't last. And so future happiness has to be founded upon the moral excellence that we get through the apostles' teachings, who got it through Jesus. Now, how do we protect our moral excellence? How do we protect our virtues? Well, there are five things that Dr. David Jeremiah says that we can do. He says, number one, we fill our heart with Jesus. We fill our hearts with Jesus. We have our number one goal is to please God. And we do that. That will protect our virtue. Will this displease God? When I was a little kid, we sing a song. And that song was, be careful little hands what you do. Careful little hands what you do. Or be careful little eyes what you see. Or feet where you go. You know, we need to protect our virtue. Now, secondly, we need to fill our minds with Scripture. I mean, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 through 4 that I read says, displace the things of the world with heavenly things. You see, we are so fixed in our timeline that all we want is things that will satisfy us now, and we're not looking at the timeline of eternity, which really goes on and on and on. So what we have to do is we have to start thinking in heavenly ways, things that will last. You know, when we die, we're not going to take our money with us. We're not going to take all of our material things with us. And so Paul reminds us in Thessalonians that we must think of these heavenly things. Peter is getting at the same thing in 2 Peter here. He said, another thing that we need to do, Dr. Jeremiah said, thirdly, fill your routines with rules, build fences, boundaries with established lifestyles. Well, if you know something is going to lead you into temptation to do something wrong, why would you get close to it? Why would you allow yourself to be near it? I'm told that many times alcoholics will avoid vanilla because for many it may cause them to drink or want to drink. It's an interesting thing to build fences around your life. If the computer is giving you problems and certain sites, stay off of it. Certain shows, turn it off. Don't even go there. When you know that show is on, stay away from it. So you build these rules and you build these fences around you so that you can protect your virtue. Now, fourthly, it says, fill your friendships with accountability. Do you have someone that will hold you accountable? You know, God has given you other people. And in the church, we should have an accountability. We should have an accountability with someone that we trust, someone who is going to love you, who will also understand that we are human, we do fall, but yet will hold you accountable and correct you and put you on the right path. We need friendships with accountability. You know, did you wake up to do your Bible study? I've been trying to do something that the last thing I hear is a devotion before I go to bed. When I wake up, one of the first things I want to do is to read a devotion so that my mind is set right on the heavenly things. We need to do that. There's a song out by Andre Crouch. Of course, Andre Crouch has passed away, but he is one of my favorite, absolute favorite songwriters and singers, gospel singers. I loved his music, but he has one song where the alarm clock rings and you hear this rustling of paper, and he's opening up his Bible before his feet even get out of bed to read a Proverbs. And then he prays and he says, "Thank you, Lord." It's quick. And then the song goes on. I want to live a life that's like that. You know? And also, fill your soul with resolve. Now, what's that mean? That means that you are determined to do whatever it takes, no matter what. You're going to do whatever it takes. Now, there's a couple of examples that we need to look at in scriptures. And one of them is found in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel, chapter 1. And we look at the life of Daniel, and his life was filled with resolve. He was going to do what was right no matter what. He was going to pray no matter what. No decree would ever stop him from praying. But verse 8 in chapter 1 of Daniel says this: "But Daniel made up his mind." I love that. He made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself with these foods that were offered to idols and such. Now, in Genesis, we find another example of that. And Genesis chapter 39, verse 12. Genesis 39, verse 12. Here's 38. Let's see here. 39, verse 12 says, this was Joseph. And Joseph could have compromised a lot of things in his life as he was being seduced by the captain's wife. And in chapter 39, verse 12, says, "And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside." Wow. You know, it's an interesting thing, the life of Joseph. He had trial after trial after trial, and still he remained had a moral excellence that would follow God. You know, in verse 8, there's another important scripture there. I don't want to leave this. Joseph was a handsome man. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Now that is moral excellence. There is a moral excellence to do whatever it takes. Now, look at your moral excellence. Look at your faith family. And get that encouragement that you need. In Thessalonians, Paul in that fourth chapter, again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's an interesting passage there. He talks about some things. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians, I keep going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we look at verses 9 and 8. It says, "Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. And we urge you, brethren, to excel still even more." Wow. To excel. And he goes on in that passage to tell us to live a quiet life. We're not to judge other people, but we are to judge ourselves. Judgment does begin with the house of God. So we need to judge ourselves and to have moral excellence. We're living in a time that doesn't want to do that. Let Christ be your example. Let the word of God that came down through the apostles, who got it from Jesus himself, rule your hearts. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the word of God. There's another passage that I want to end with today. And it's from Colossians. And it's an interesting passage in chapter 1, if you turn with me there. If you turn to Colossians chapter 1. And verses 9 and 10, Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. And we find these words here. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We need to have that moral excellence. Moral excellence. We need to protect it. Fill your heart with Jesus. Fill your mind with the scriptures. Fill your routine with rules. Protect your life. Fill your friendships with accountability. And fill your soul with determination. Do whatever it takes to add to your faith moral excellence. Now I know I'm talking to an empty room here, and since we are dealing with the coronavirus, but I wanted to share this lesson with you and to still encourage you to study the Word, to take the Word of God and apply it to your life. God bless you. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. First Christian Church of Malvern is located at 4046 Coral Road Northwest in Malvern, Ohio. We hope that you will join us for our Sunday services. We have a traditional service at 8:30 a.m. and two contemporary services at 10 a.m. and also at 11:30 a.m. Kenny Thomas is our lead minister, and we have a place for all your children. So join us for our Bible studies also. Information can be found on our website at fccmonline.org or on Facebook. All you need to do is search for First Christian Church of Malvern. May God bless you.